The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Jonathan Thompson
and Ibrahim Kwatani.
In the headlines, senior national team Black Stars sailed through to quarterfinals of AFCON 2015 with sweet 2-1 victory over Bafana Bafana of South Africa. General Electric set to construct thermal plant in Takoradi to generate more than 1,000 megawatts of electricity. NGO appeals to President Mahama to withdraw Petroleum Exploration and Production Bill before Parliament. And AU and China sign agreement to develop road, rail and air transport to link capitals across the African continent. The senior national team, the Black Stars, yesterday sealed their qualification to the quarterfinals of the AFCON tournament in Equatorial Guinea. They came from a goal down to beat the Bafana Bafana of South Africa 2-1 in the crucial last Group C match played in Mongomo. The victory was also the first time the Stars have beaten the Bafana Bafana boys in an African Cup tournament. The South Africans shot into the lead in the 18th minute through Masango. Jordan Ayew in the 5th and 6th minutes failed to score from series of chances that came his way. The Stars had a tough time trying to penetrate the South Africans' goal area as the Bafana Bafana boys tightened their defense and foiled every effort at goal. In the 34th minute, defender Daniel Amati limped off the field and was replaced by John Boy. The second half resumed with the Black Stars still probing for the equalizer. However, in the second minute, a cross by Andre Ayew into the 18-yard box of the South Africans was beautifully controlled by substitute John Boy, who had joined the attack. He turned and kicked it with a rather unfavorable left foot, which went through the legs of brilliant Kuzwayo into the net for the equalizer. The introduction of Kwesi Appiah for Jordan Ayew and Ajiman Bedu for Efie Akwa strengthened the grip of the Stars on the game. As if the match was heading for a draw, Mubarak Wakaso floated an in-swinger and a flying Didi Ayew headed it into the net for the Stars' second and winning goal. Ghana will be facing one of the teams in Group D, which qualifies to the quarterfinals in today's last group matches. In today's games, Guinea take on Mali, while Cote d'Ivoire clash with Cameroon. And we have on the line one sports analyst, John Latte, to tell us more about yesterday's match with the South African boys. George Latte, are you online?
Good morning.
Good morning, George. Now, I hope it was a sweet victory for you as well.
Well, it is. It was a sweet victory for myself and the whole of Ghana. The Black Stars, you know, finally have silenced their critics. I mean, those who thought they just couldn't perform in the ongoing 30th edition of the African Cup of Nations. It was a brilliant display of football artistry. Didi Ayew and then John Boy for me surprised me really. He did surprise me, I think, joining the attack and then, you know, leaving the backside. But he did very well. He came up as a substitute, as you already pointed out. And he came up with the first goal. Didi Ayew getting the second goal. The Bafana boys, you know, they thought, you know, it was all over for Ghana because we've never beaten them in any AFCON competition. But yesterday was a sweet revenge for Ghana. Quite remember. Some years back, they did come here, they did beat the Black Stars. Then, someone else, the first time, they did beat the Black Stars at the Kumasi Sports Stadium. You know, they gave us a very, very, very bad taste of football then. But now, yesterday, I believe, was a very sweet revenge. I hope and pray the Black Stars go for it, because Group D, as you rightly said, isn't an easy group. The countries over there are very, very tough. Group D, I for one, paint Group D as a group of death, not our group. Group D has a very, massive following. All the countries over there are doing very well. And Ghana, we need to be very prepared. Avram Grant and his men on the technical bench, they really need to do a very good job as in facing any of the countries that are qualified from Group D.
Yes, we're looking at some pretty tough side, Guinea, Mali, Cote d'Ivoire, Cameroon. None of them would ever come easy.
It is. None of them will ever come easy, as you said. If you take a look at Mali, for instance, in that particular group, I'm really surprised about Mali. They are playing some high quality football, lots and lots of good football. And then if you take a look at Guinea, I thought we're going to be the whipping boys of Group D, but you know they've given all the countries, the three remaining countries, a hell of a time. If you look at Cameroon, a very well rare side. They are also playing lots of quality football. They have the men to deliver. And you know the other country, as in all the countries, would be stand a chance of making it to the final. Ghana, we need to stand very firm. We need to take very, very good care of our, especially of our backside. We need to be very vigilant at the back because these guys, especially the Cameroonians, who I know will qualify definitely alongside maybe Mali or Ivory Coast. Ivory Coast are just not seeing things right in the competition. We all know they are perennial underachievers. They come to the tournament with so much names, the big names, the big boys. But most of the time, it is discipline that really causes every coach. If they can put their act together, they probably stand a chance of also qualifying. All of them stand a chance of qualifying because that group is particularly open. And Ghana, we need to be aware. We need to be careful. We need to sit and watch Group D carefully because that is the danger zone for Ghana.
Okay, thank you very much, George Latte, for your time. And we also have in the studios Benjamin Willie Graham, who is also another sports analyst with SGBC here. And George Latte was actually talking about tightening our defense. Now, would we say that we are satisfied with our attacking line then?
I think I have to liken this game to the Senegal 92 game between Ghana and Nigeria, where Prince Polly and Abedi Pele equally had to dig deep to help Ghana and win that game. I think for me, I had already said that if you really look at the South Africans, at the three games they played, if we had taken our chances, or perhaps if you had looked at them pretty well, it wouldn't have been very difficult for us to have beaten them yesterday. For instance, they are very good defensively, well organized. They have a very skillful midfield play, and indeed the attacking machinery isn't that potent enough. Against Algeria, they scored the first goal and they were beating 3-1. Against Senegal, they scored the first goal and ended 1-1. And against Ghana, they scored the first goal and had to beat them by 2-1. So which means that they all the time fade around the 75th or the 80th minute, where of course you mean that their stamina is always not good. They run out of steam when they take the lead and they allow the opponent to run at them. And so that is a South African team. So if you take the opportunity to look at them, they don't have leadership in the team. That's number one. Two, they are very inexperienced. It's a young team that's been put together. Give them 2-3 years and I'm sure they'll be a good side. So I think if the coach had actually looked at it, the team pretty well, my option was that, okay, we're going to play pretty tight in midfield. So they wouldn't have the opportunity to run amok at us. And of course, I'm thinking the first half, they had the opportunity to play very hard with us, and they had some decent chances as well. So my opinion, I think we also lacked some, you know, organization at the back, and that's also allowed them to just get the opportunity to score. So if you look at the Black Stars, for instance, we've conceded certain goals. We lost our first game, and of course, we had to win against, we have to win against Algeria, and eventually, we had to beat, South Africa. So basically, that's the point. But I'm sure the coach would definitely know what to do next.
So then you would say that it was complacency on their part? But the South Africans part?
The coach said it. He said they gave it away. And they've been giving it away on all of the three matches they played. So I'm sure they will go back to drawing board and know that in the future they'll have a quality time.
Now, would you say that the substitution that we had actually did a trick for us?
We needed it because then we lacked some bite in midfield, and Ajman Bedu came and gave us that. Then we were more attacking. And I'm saying that the South Africans, they will run out of steam, get into the ending the game. So in the 20 or 15 minutes, they're always going down. So when you take advantage of that, you're always likely to win.
Before you go, briefly, Cameroon, Cote d'Ivoire, what do you think?
Two. All of them have 2 points. So it's going to be a tough game in Group D. That's for me the group of death, if you ask me. That's the group of death. All of them have 2 points. So whoever wins today, I'm sure, will definitely see it through.
Cameroon, Cote d'Ivoire, the group of death. Thank you very much, Benjamin Willie Graham, for your time and analysis on Ghana's match and, of course, what is going to be played today.
Away from football, all is set for the U.S. company General Electric to construct a thermal plant in Takoradi to generate 1,250 megawatts of electricity. The first phase to generate 750 megawatts will be completed in the last quarter of 2016 at a cost of $560 million, and the remaining 500 megawatts by 2018. This came to light when the global chief executive of General Electric and other executives of the company conferred with President Mahama at Tedeasa Lodge in the Eastern Region. The president said his government is determined to diversify the nation's energy generation mix to avoid dependence on one source of generation. This, he said, has contributed to the country's energy generation shortfall, set a year report.
President Mahama said the government is tackling the current electricity challenge the country is going through with the procurement of emergency power generators and other long-term projects.
We currently have a load management crisis, and we're dealing with it in two ways. One, to fast-track emergency power supply, and I'm sure that GE is one of those that we will talk to in respect of this, but we signed a few MOUs to fast-track emergency power supply in months to be able to increase the amount of power that we have available, while at the same time going into more major projects like GE1000 and the Amandi project, Jacobson, and the several other projects that we're signing that collectively should give us in excess of another 2,000 megawatts of power into the system and be able to meet the current shortfall that we have, but also put in extra generation to meet the demand as it continues to grow.
The president said the country has depended on Akosombo for far too long, and the government is determined to add more sources of energy generation.
My understanding is that the first phase will be driven by liquid natural gas, and we wish to diversify as much as possible the sources of fuel for producing our power so that we're not caught in the situation where we have dependent on only one source of power, you know, for too long a time. For many years, when the Akosombo hydroelectric power plant was built, we thought that it would provide Ghana with power forever. And so even as our demand was growing, you know, our attempts to put in supplementary generation was not fast enough. And that's why over the years, we found ourselves caught up in rolling blackouts and load management, a crisis one of which we're going through currently today.
The global chief executive of General Electric, Jeff Immelt, said the company will be exploring other sectors of Ghana's economy and invest.
I think it's one of the most exciting projects that we have seen, certainly in the continent. The notion of really using gas to generate power is something I think will be quite common across the continent of Africa as time goes on. We're very excited to work with E&I, and we're very excited to be a part of the power project that is going to go forward called Ghana 1000. In addition to this great project, we also are quite committed to getting some power online very quickly inside the country as well. So we really want to be a great partner in terms of power generation.
When completed, the project will be Ghana's single most largest electricity generating plant. Seth Iyer, reporting for Radio Ghana.
Ghana has signed a $7 billion oil and gas development agreement at Cape Three Points with Vitol of U.S. and Eni of Italy. The ceremony was witnessed in Accra by both President John Mahama and Vice President Kwesi Emesa-Atta. Minister of Energy and Petroleum Emmanuel Amakofi-Buwa signed for Ghana, while the Vice President of Eni in charge of Sub-Saharan Africa, Antonio Pagano, initialled for his company. CEO of GNPC, Alex Mould, signed the other agreement with the President and CEO of Vitol, Ian Taylor. Ghana's Energy and Petroleum Minister, Emmanuel Amakofi-Buwa, said the oil and gas agreement will be used to focus on the power sector of the Ghanaian market to address the current challenges.
Again, thank you, Your Excellency, because of your foresight, you directed in 2013 that we should ensure in working with the partners that the gas is directed to the Ghanaian market. Because of that, we are able to say that this negotiation and the gas that will be produced will be focused on our power sector to address our critical constraint to this economy, which is ensuring that we have access to electricity for industries and jobs. His Excellency, on your behalf and on behalf of the government negotiating team, let me thank the partners for their commitment, even in the face of this difficult crude crisis and the downturn. They are very committed to this project, and let me assure them that the people of Ghana, led by His Excellency, also stand committed to this project. Thank you very much.
Energy and Petroleum Minister Emmanuel Kofi Bua. Vice President of ENI Antonio Pagano said he is impressed at Ghana's efforts and determination to bring the oil and gas project to fruition.
Indeed, the OCTP Integrated Oil and Gas Project represents a milestone for Ghana as it marks the beginning of a new era where Ghana starts producing its own gas to feed its own power plants for a stable power supply to the country. This is at the base of every effort the country has to make to diversify and grow its economy, and I'm particularly happy to see that Ghana has vehemently taken this route under the steering of President Mahama, who with wisdom and determination has driven this process. It has not been the easiest path to reach today's celebration. Months of difficult negotiation with very sticky moments could have not come to an end without the determination and strong willingness by all the parties to make this project happen.
Vice President of ENI, Antonio Pagano. For his part, the CEO of Vitol, Ian Taylor, says he is delighted at the tremendous support from all stakeholders as they look forward to a successful implementation.
For me, I think the biggest thing that we want to achieve is delivering and helping Ghana to really develop, delivering power to your economy and making this a reality. And I'm absolutely delighted after starting this project way back in 2007 and 2008 that it is beginning to become something which will genuinely happen for all Ghanaians and indeed for ENI and for Vitol. We've had tremendous support from the government, from GMPC, and indeed from His Excellency the President, which we really do appreciate. Now we have to get on and make it happen. And with your commitment, sir, and your agreement, we will ensure that this is a very successful project for this country.
CEO of Vitol, Ian Taylor. President Mahama described the $7 billion oil and gas exploration agreements as good news for Ghana.
A long road from when exploration started to today, where we finally have the opportunity to sign the official agreement for the beginning of the development of production of the offshore Cape 3 Points project. It's been worth it, and I'm sure that we all are looking forward to eventually seeing the products of this field come on stream. A survey done on our country in terms of what constrains the growth of our economy settles on energy as the most binding constraint to our economy, and I'm sure that Ghanaians will empathize with this considering the current load management we are having to go through in respect of energy and power supply. And so this should be a bit of very good news for Ghana going forward, that it would help to stabilize and ensure that Ghana has sufficient power to keep our economy growing at the pace at which it has been doing for several years now. This current agreement that has been signed for the investment in offshore Cape 3 Points is to the tune of $7 billion, and that's about 12% of the total $53.3 billion. And so it probably would be the single largest investment that is being made in an African country in this particular year. And so the gas that we expect would be able to power an additional 1,100 megawatts of power, you know, for Ghana. That is more than Akosombo. Akosombo is 1,020 megawatts.
That was President Mahama.
The Ghana Institute of Governance and Security, an NGO, is appealing to President Mahama to, as a matter of urgency, withdraw the Petroleum Exploration and Production Bill currently before Parliament. This is because the current mode of sharing oil resources deprives the country of benefits to be deprived from oil and gas resources, and also does not conform to the UN Charter on Permanent Sovereignty over Natural Resources. A research officer at the Institute, Solomon Kwau Kumi, who expressed these sentiments at a media conference in Accra, said independent experts must be invited to review the draft bill to reflect production sharing agreements that about 81 oil-producing countries have adopted. We bring you a report by Antoine Taba and Benjamin Dakwa.
According to the Ghana Institute of Governance and Security, the passage of the Petroleum Exploration Bill in its current form, with the fiscal provisions and other unfavorable sections it contains into law to regulate the upstream oil industry, amount to surrendering the country's sovereignty and constitutional ownership to foreign multinationals. 81 oil-producing countries have adopted the production-sharing agreements, which enables them to retain not less than 40% of proceeds from oil resources. Ghana, however, has adopted the modern concession method where about 80% of the resources go to foreign companies. According to Mr. Kweukumi, this agreement will continue to rob the nation of its resources until it is reviewed to conform to the UN Charter.
Information and data available to us indicate Ghana could earn between 60 billion and 80 billion from the Jubilee Seals adopting the pure production sharing agreement, as against the 20.269 billion and then 19.39 billion estimated by the IMF and the World Bank respectively under the current prevailing system, the modern concession. Ghana would not be in this mess and crisis if over $5 billion flowed into the economy to date as a result of adoption of production sharing agreement. Let us adopt the production sharing agreement to maximize the most potential benefits from the oil and gas resources for the manifestation and peace and development.
He appealed to Parliament to critically examine documents on the production sharing agreement to ensure that it is thoroughly understood. Mr. Kweukumi also urged civil society organizations and public interest lawyers to proceed to court and test the sanctity of these agreements and contracts.
We want to bring to the notice and knowledge of the people of Ghana that if this bill is passed into law, it will amount to a death sentence on the economic destiny of Ghana, reducing the present as well as the future generations into eternal and perpetual modern-day economic slaves.
The executive director of the institute, David Agbay, said it will continue to drum home the need to adopt the production sharing agreement, which is most popular, fairer and convenient rather than the current regime, which is exploitative and would restore the economic emancipation of the country.
That was Antoinette Abba and Benjamin Darquez report.
This news comes to you from Radio Ghana Accra. The major stories: senior national team Black Stars sailed through to the quarterfinals of AFCON 2015 with sweet 2-1 victory over Bafana Bafana of South Africa. General Electric set to construct thermal plants in Takoradi to generate more than 1,000 megawatts of electricity. NGO appeals to President Mahama to withdraw petroleum exploration and production bill before Parliament. And AU and China sign agreement to develop road, rail and air transport to link capitals across the continent.
Radio Ghana, meeting the news challenge with credible information.
You will come back. Despite a reduced anxiety on Ebola, the Noguchi Memorial Institute continues to test samples of the disease when no case has been recorded in the country. The director of the institute, Professor Kwaju Kuram, disclosed that since the disease broke out, the institute has used its resources for testing of samples before it receives assistance from JICA. Professor Kuram spoke with Radio Ghana. Joy Jechi reports.
The Noguchi Memorial Institute for Medical Research is the only research institution in the country that is internationally recognized to test for Ebola samples. As an institute set up to test for malaria, it started testing for hemorrhagic fever prior to the onset of Ebola in West Africa. The head of the research institute, Professor Kwaju Kuram, talks about what led to research on Ebola even before the outbreak in the West affected countries.
The samples were coming in way before even the outbreak, because what we had done here was to ask ourselves as a research institute, what are the other causes of fever beyond malaria? Because every fever is malaria, but we know that since we started with RDTs and things, probably sometimes even up to 50% or more, especially in places like Accra, and probably 80% of the fevers, you don't find any malaria parasites. So the question really was, what are the other causes of fever? So we have a small research program looking at this, and part of it was to look at viral hemorrhagic fevers, which includes Ebola. So we have started testing for this way before the outbreak, about a year.
Professor Kuram said the institute initially used its resources for the testing. However, JICA and other donors came on board later?
When we started, we were testing on our own. So we had some reagents and things to do what we were interested in. Then this outbreak came and it was like, Noguchi, can you help? And we said, yes. So initially we used what we had and we said, well, this has to be replaced because we had bought our own reagents. And we have to anticipate what is going to happen. Then we will need further and things, and we made some estimates to them. So my suspicion is that those budgets that we made were probably passed on to donor agents and Chaika took up what Noguchi needed.
He said the institute continues to test samples of the disease, but on the quiet, like it was doing before the outbreak of the disease. Professor Kram blamed the media for creating panic about the disease in the country. He said cases of the disease have reduced in the affected countries due to education on the symptoms of the disease.
Joy Getty reporting.
The chief executive of the National Health Insurance Authority, NHIA, Sylvester Mensa, says strategy plans put in place by the authority will help reduce abuse and fraud associated with the scheme. Furthermore, plans are afoot to also clear debts owed service providers. Speaking at an NHIA management retreat in Accra, he said as part of efforts to address the sustainability challenges confronting the scheme, a blueprint is being developed to avert challenges. Aurelia Akande and Rhoda Wilson have the details.
As part of efforts to improve access to healthcare, the National Health Insurance Authority is undergoing a two-day management retreat. The retreat aims at coming up with ideas on how to best implement its new medium-term strategic plan. After 10 years of existence, management hopes to draw lessons from the past years and develop sustainability tactics. They also hope to work towards developing an internal source of funds generation to offload some pressures on government purse. The chief executive of the National Insurance Authority, Sylvester Mensa, says to hasten claims payment, three additional centers have been created.
To reduce abuse and fraud and leakages. But of course, abuse and fraud is like an onion. When you peel one layer, there's always another layer to peel. And that is what we're tackling. I must say that we have been able to plug some leakages. We are still working on it, and we are hoping to intensify that this year with the coverage of claims management across the country, with the establishment of additional claims processing centers in the northern region, Shanti and central regions. We believe that we're able to achieve the target of reduced leakage by not less than 10%. I would believe that these, together with other strategies, would help address the issue.
The Deputy Minister of Health, Dr. Victor Bampo, reiterated health financing as key to the development of the health system. He directed that projects of the authority should be aligned to the ministry's financial budget.
The authority and the scheme are key players in Ghana's health delivery system, and our ministry recognizes the good efforts that management and staff at all levels of the authority are making to improve the National Health Insurance Scheme. We, however, strongly recommend that you always make sure that your plans are aligned to the overall healthcare financing strategy of the Ministry of Health.
An electronic payment system is expected to be outdoored to mitigate risks associated with premium collection. Also, a health insurance dialogue section will be held quarterly.
Aurelia Akande and Rhoda Wilson filed that report.
And on the foreign front, China and the African Union have agreed on an ambitious plan to develop a road rail and air transport routes to link the capitals across the continent. African Union Chief Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma praised the proposal as the most substantive project the AU has ever signed with a partner.
U.S. President Barack Obama has led a large bipartisan U.S. delegation to Saudi Arabia following the death of King Abdullah. President Obama cut short a trip to India to make time for the brief visit, during which he met new ruler King Salman. He was accompanied by prominent Republican officials, including former Secretaries of State James Baker and Condoleezza Rice.
Now to end the news, a look at some of the stories that made the headlines. The senior national team, the Black Stars, have sailed through to the quarterfinals of AFCON 2015 with a sweet 2-1 victory over Bafana Bafana of South Africa. With this victory, Ghana will be facing one of the teams in Group D, which qualifies to the quarterfinals in today's last group matches. General Electric is set to construct thermal plants in Takoradi to generate more than 1,000 megawatts of electricity. An NGO, Ghana Institute of Governance and Security, has appealed to President Mahama to withdraw Petroleum Exploration and Production Bill before Parliament. And AU and China have signed an agreement to develop road, rail and air transport to link capitals across the continent. The news was presented by Ibrahim Kwasi.
I'm Jonathan Thompson in Accra. Thank you.